Good evening and welcome to The Temple, the official Mayan Factor podcast. I am Brian the Mayan, and I'll be hosting this evening's Temple podcast. Tonight we have Chuck Jacobs, percussionist for the Mayan Factor. He has played on all of our records in Lake Achee, 44, Heaven and Hell, and also on Yesterday's Sun. It is our pleasure to have him here tonight. He also plays in a acoustic project called Trifecta around the Baltimore area. And tonight he is here to share some of his stories with you. He's the one you're going to find in the trucker's hat. He's the one you're going to find with the ZZ Top duck hunting beard. And I mean that in the best way possible. Tonight, everybody welcome Chuck Jacobs to the Temple. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
He works for Sprint now, by the way.
Works for Sprint now.
He's on the new Sprint commercials. He's like, remember me from Verizon? Now I'm not there anymore. Now I'm with Sprint. I'm like, God.
I kind of feel cheated. I feel a little lied to right now.
Yeah. Talk about jumping ship. He worked for Comcast for a while, too. Comcast had him as a marketing guy trying to help with marketing shit. Yeah.
So. When you work for Satan, it's one step, you know, Sprint can't be that bad.
It's hard to believe five words has kept him employed for all these years. Can you hear me now?
But dude, thank you for joining us in the temple today.
So oh, we're back.
Yeah, we're back. This,
sorry.
No, Chuck, tell everybody a little bit about you. I know everybody knows you're in the Mayan Factor, but are there any other musical projects that you had been in or that you're currently in?
Well, yes. Right now I'm in a 4-piece acoustic band. We do covers called Trifecta. I know it's 4, but we used to have 3, so we added a guitar player. Damn guitar players, you know. So added some guitar, all acoustic stuff. We just do covers. Been doing it for 5 years. It's just for fun, just a little bullshit stuff, you know. So play local yacht bars and, you know, deck clubs and stuff outside, and it's not too loud. So kind of keep that acoustic jam, which I always loved. So before the Mayan Factor or during some hiatus times, I played with Kim Hall and Jody. We did some Jody's last name. Dang. She's going to kill me, too.
Oh, no. This is bad news, yeah, buddy. You're in trouble.
Bad. Yeah. You better edit this shit. So I used to play. Remember, we used to play with Kim and Jody played in a band back when the Mayan Factor was playing down Rehoboth and stuff. And they both played guitar, sang. They were called Yeah, this is terrible. I should have been more prepared for this. I apologize.
We're going to have like a hard cut edit. Like,
we are. Yeah,
like,
we're going to.
The band is called.
Write shit down next time. So, yeah. But anyway, they played, and then they did some acoustic stuff on the side, and I played with them, and they did, a lot of cover stuff for in Fells Point. And that's how I did a lot of stuff with them when we were had some downtime in between records and stuff. And so while playing with them, we also recorded a Christmas record and a children's album. And it was kind of cool because the children's record accompanied a nursery rhyme book. It was all nursery rhymes recorded. And that was pretty neat, you know, neat to do with them. So, and then just picking up little gigs with other people. And, you know, I played with, a little bit with Johnny from the Mayan Factor and my band, Trifecta, for a while. But he got kind of busy. And then once in a while, if I jam with him or other people, you know. So that's kind of what's going on now. Now that, you know, the ball's rolling again with the Mayan Factor. I'm really excited about that to see where it's going to go and, you know, the potential and, you know, what can happen now that things are really, you know, engaged again and having you back on board, of course. And, you know, I'm stoked. And Lenny, you know, we'll discuss Lenny as we go on. But, you know, that's just, you know, it's kind of neat how it all came together. Right. Exactly. It does. It doesn't feel, you know, and that's, you know, when we did Yesterday's Sun, and it was great. And I loved where Ray was with that. To me, that was our most mature record that we had put out to date. The progression of In Lake Achee and then 44 and then Yesterday's Sun, just listening to the lyrics and the songs of these records, to me, I could see a progression of like just moving as a band in a more mature, you know, we're all getting older, but
evolving,
it's still just,
and changing.
It's
really,
exactly.
Can't stagnate.
Right. And it just flowed. And to me, that was my favorite record. It was just so cut short because if we, you know, 8 songs, I think, if, you know, what else could have came out of that? That was just so, but that was my favorite record there. And just listening to where Ray was with his lyrics and his music and stuff. And then when we recorded that, and then we did the last like little set at Ramshead with Jeff Jones. And I love Jeff. He's a good friend, but I just didn't want to, Jeff didn't have that feel that Ray had. Cause you know, for one, Jeff plays electric guitar, Ray played acoustic. So I had that connection cause I'm acoustic and Ray's acoustic, but now Jeff was playing electric but it just had to feel right for me. I couldn't move on. It just didn't feel right. They kind of wanted to dance around moving on a little bit with the band. And, like I said, I told Kevin, I said, it just doesn't feel right, you know. But then when Lenny came on, Lenny had so many of Ray's characteristics, but not trying to be like Ray. That was the great part for me because, you know, he could be the kind of guy you talk to and you befriend and everything. And he just had a lot of Ray characteristics. But, you know, coming into an established band already, that has, you know, 3, to me, very quality albums, you know, a lot of good lyrics and writings, and trying to step into someone's shoes or fill a role that Ray had brought into this band, I can't imagine how much pressure is on this guy's shoulders.
No, me neither.
And then for him just to be himself, and it all just fucking clicks, you know, and yeah, that's why it's like, you know what?
It didn't seem like it was, you know, I'm coming in and trying to do cover band stuff. It's like, hey, how can I make these songs mine?
Right, exactly. You know? And like I said, even the things that he's made his, it's characteristics that I can see Ray doing that he didn't do. And that's why it's just like, oh, yeah, that's good, though, you know?
It's made the songs mean something different but personal.
Right. But then at the same time, Lenny's keeping that mystique that Ray brought and the I think the intentions and the passion.
The energy, that,
that Lenny puts in the songs, like I can see with his hands and his face and his expressions. Like, he really feels the writings that Ray put out there. And he's completely just moving with them and not trying to, like, add more stuff to it that has, you know, that could maybe ruin it. Because when Lenny brings it, it's just like, it's a little different, but it's natural to me and it feels right. It's like, yeah, that's cool.
Feels good.
I can see, right, exactly, yeah. So this, for me, that's why it felt great. And I love Jeff.
What a shitty analogy, but it's like putting on a comfortable pair of jeans that fits just right, you know?
Yeah, exactly, right. Or those special boxer shorts that you kind of don't want to take off.
I didn't want to go. You want to go there.
Yeah, but I'm on the exact same page. With Lenny, it just started out, like I said, when we met up at the practice spot, and like I said, you were the first car that was there, and I pulled up and saw you.
I remember. I got there real early. It's,
yeah.
And I sat there, man, where the hell is everyone? I know I was real early. I had to come a long way. And when you pulled up, I didn't even recognize you. I was like,
yeah, man.
Whoa.
I just kind of let this beard thing go, and, you know, now 21 months later, here I am. And, you know, last night we were playing at this yacht bar, just a deck bar around the corner from me. And we start at 7 o'clock. Well, at 7 o'clock, the sun's still out. It's still 90-plus degrees. Man, I am fucking baking in this. And the sun is directly at me, right? I'm in the back playing percussion, and the sun's right on me. I'm just like, man, I must have lost at least 15 pounds last night. I had to. But then once that sun went down, we played till 11. It was great. But it was hot one yesterday, boy. But everybody's like, oh, is your beard hot? I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of used to it now. If anything, it holds moisture.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So.
Hey, why don't you, because people may not know, you were with the band since the early days, but it was like, I think it was all the members of the band minus you. Like, you had known Kevin previously. How is it that, tell how you sort of became part of the band.
I was a big fan back in the mid to late 90s of Jimmy's Chicken Shack. And I used to frequent plenty of their shows and became friends with Jimmy. And I noticed, like, you know, this is when the internet was pretty much starting to take off. Cable modems, high-speed internet was taking off. And music exposure was starting to take off as well. So to me, if I'm a fan and I go to a band's website, I want to see pictures from shows that are current. When's your next date? When are you playing? Do you have a guest book? You could sign, you know, put information in there. And I became friends with Jimmy, and his record label was Foul Records in Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And they had fabulous bands, Mary Prankster, Laughing Colors, Coloring Lesson, Jimmy's Chicken Shack, of course.
I remember that day. There's a Brickfoot.
Brickfoot, Live Alien Broadcast. And these bands were just like Rebel Amish Radio. I mean, these were great bands. I mean, local music was just starting to explode, especially from Maryland and Annapolis, you know, Imbue. These bands were fucking hot, man. But they lacked information on the internet when fans are trying to see when you're playing again. You have some clips to listen to, video maybe, pictures. So I met Chris Smoker at Foul Records, and I said to Chris, I would like to provide a guest book for Foul Records for your website. People would go in there and they would like, you know, Jimmy had a lot of followers. Jimmy's Chicken Shack was huge up down the East Coast. They're ready to do right. That was starting to take off. MTV exposure. So, you know, current information is key. It's vital. Especially with the music scene starting to blow up with all these local bands. And some of them were starting, you know, there were shows on TV. There was that farm show that was on USA Network. That
Farmhouse. Wasn't it Farmhouse?
Yeah. Yes. It was something like that, right? And Sev was local, and they made it. They got signed from there. So Live Alien Broadcast was trying to get through there. So local music was starting to take off in this area, and it was great. So I started doing stuff with Foul Records, and I started my own little photography company called Digital Bliss Photos. So I would go to shows and take pictures and then post them. And when I worked with Comcast, they gave you all this web space for free. So I started doing fan pages for all these local bands, Mary Prankster, Jimmy's Chicken Shack. And then I met Kevin at a Jimmy's Chicken Shack show, and they were great. Like Live Alien had that kind of like that 311 type sound with the DJ, but they had that Incubus kind of crunch and a little bit of Linkin Park before Linkin Park was even out. You know what I'm saying? They had that sound, and it was great, and I enjoyed them a lot. And so I became friends with Kevin and Jason and Jeff and Don, and, you know, Matt Toronto was a drummer for a while, and then they had some changes in Jerome, of course, who's with Jimmy's Chicken Shack now. And so it was great. So I did a lot of stuff with them. Live Alien, you know, I did a lot with them, from websites to pictures to videos to, you know, audio stuff. And they even played a party at my house down the street that I had, that you were at before. Live Alien set up a full show in my backyard. I had the cops to my house.
I was going
to
say, like, I was the neighbor.
Every 10 minutes. Yeah, it was the best. It was my birthday. It was the best story ever. And the cops kept coming, and we were drinking all day, and it was daytime. And I said, a quick story with that. The cop came down my back alley and he said, "Look, man, we've been here three times." He's like, "If we got to come back again, we're going to fine you with a noise ordinance." And I'm like, "Oh, I've turned it down. It's during the day. I've invited my neighbors, but there's always a couple neighbors that are going to be assholes, you know? I was going to be done before it got dark, but whatever." So my father was standing next to me, and mind you, we've been drinking all day, and my father was in his 60s, and we have been doing shots of Crown Royal all day.
Wait, no. You and your dad doing shots and getting drunk?
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing it.
right. So my father looked at the cop and said, "If you come back, how much is that fine going to be?" And he said, "It could be up to $500. And my dad reached in his pocket, and he had a little money clip, and he goes, "You come see me, I'll be at the party, I'll pay that fine." And the cops never came back. Swear to God, true story.
That's fantastic.
And we were, like I said, we were drinking all day, shots. We had two kegs of beer, had like 200 people in this row home. And it was like, you know, in my backyard. But it was great. So I did a lot of stuff with Live Alien. And then I moved to Delaware for a little while, and I, you know, Kevin had reached out to me and told me how, you know, Live Alien was breaking up, but he's found this kid at the 8x10 named Ray Ray, and, you know, he's putting this project together, and he wanted me to stop down and check it out. And I'm like, all right. So I remember I drove from Delaware that night, and I drove all the way down and met at the practice spot, and that was our house?
That's at our house, that's right.
Yep, that's right. So I met you guys there and went upstairs, and it was you. And it was Ray and Kevin and Matt. And, you know, you guys were jamming. And I was like, wow, this is a lot different than Live Alien, but I really like it. Like, you know, because to me, the bands that were out there playing stuff now were kind of the cookie cutter type. But when the Mayan Factor kind of hit the scene, it was like, wow, like that doesn't sound like something you hear on the radio, or doesn't sound like, you know. And you know what? It's not a stab or a jab at bands that can make it that sound like a cookie cutter type band, but I'm just being honest, and that's the way I perceived it. As this doesn't sound like any other. I can't compare the Mayan Factor to another band and say, oh, they sound like. Now I can see resemblances of this and maybe this and this, but maybe not sound like that. So I heard you guys play that night in the practice space, and I was just like, wow, this is cool. Like, you know,
right. You know, it's funny too, is everybody you ask them, you know, what does your band sound like? And everybody always says, well, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to describe. You know, everybody says that. Even you go to see them, you could be like, okay, that's Black Sabbath mixed with this.
Right.
You know, and
right.
You can pinpoint it.
You can hear something, right. And with the Mind Factor and what Ray started and brought, when you guys were in that room, I'm like, this is different like than from what I've heard. So Kevin's like, will you do the website and do the pictures and stuff? I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. Like, you know, that's how I met you and I met Ray. And then I think within the next night or two, me, Ray, and Kevin and a bunch of this, Greg Christensen from Unsung Hero, we went to the Tool concert down the Baltimore Arena and we saw Tool. So I got to hang out with Ray like all day. That's how I really met Ray. That day we hung out the entire day together at my house. And then we drove down to the Tool concert. So it was kind of cool. Like, that's when I got my feet kind of involved with the Mayan Factor. And then just, I think we were at Kevin's house or at a practice space. And we were just hanging out one night, just drinking beers, and you guys were jamming and stuff. And there was a set of congas sitting there. And all my life, my father played bongos as a kid. He always had bongos. So we'd always play together. And you know, this was days before video cameras, so he would record us with a tape deck.
Now, this was still pretty early in the band. Like, we hadn't put out the first record yet. We were material.
You were just, the first album wasn't even together. I mean, we weren't doing open mic nights. We weren't doing anything. We were just pretty much practicing. So I would just hang out with you guys. You practice. This is maybe a month into the band just really getting serious about moving the chain along. So I jumped on these congas, and I think you guys were just whipping through some songs that Ray, you know, because Ray brought the songs to the table, and then we kind of collaborated and then went from there. And I started jamming on those congas with you guys, and Ray was like, you know, and this is a terrible Ray impression, but I'm going to try it. Hey, you know, that's pretty good. Like, keep doing that, you know? So,
oh, I get it.
Right.
I hear it.
So, right. So that's how it started, man. And from there, it was just like, you know, I was honored to be asked to just, you know, not only jam with you guys, because you, to me, like, you guys are amazing musicians. And then when you, within the next month or so, we had a very small set in New York. It was one of the bus trips that Kevin had put together with other bands. And you guys had come to me and we were talking. And you said, well, look, we're just going to hold back on the percussion for this set. Just see what it sounds like without it for the show. And I didn't care. Sure, no problem. I'll take pictures. So I went up there that night with you, and we took the bus up, and, you know, it was great. Bus drinking on the way up. It was a, you know, chartered bus that Kevin did with those trips. And I took pictures, man, and it was a good time. And then I never forget, you guys all came off the stage, and I'm helping you put your shit down, and you were like, nah, that ain't going to work. You have to play for now. And it wasn't the same. So I'm like, all right. So from that point on, it was a steady thing. And to me, like I said, the internet...
People don't understand how important your role is in the band. It really, it's absolutely clutched. It doesn't feel right unless Chuck's on stage playing. You know, it's just, it's not right. And it's, the whole point is about creating a vibe, creating an energy, and there has to be that chemistry that works.
And that's how I put it, you know, like, you know, to me, it's a roller coaster ride. We're taking you on a ride. Come along, get on. There's plenty of room, right? So we go on this ride, so we're providing you with these ups and downs and these ins and outs and twists and loops. So with the percussion added in there, and then, you know, some shows I used to bring incense out. We'd light the incense up. We'd create that vibe. We'd dim the lights. Remember, I had candles, and they were like, you can't light candles.
I know, it was a fire hazard. They're like, where's your fire extinguisher?
Right. What was that band where they had that terrible fire? That one band had that terrible... Right? So they're like, you can't light them candles. I'm like, sorry. I'm blowing all this shit out. With incense, you know, it was pretty cool. So we'd light the incense, and we'd create that vibe. And then we started doing the slideshow over top of us, which was like creating the flowing images, which is really just screensavers. But it was great, you know, because no one, you know, the vibe that we created, it added to the ambience and the sound of the song, all the songs, the set. And then, like, you know, once we start playing, you know, next thing you know, we're playing Focus, and what? It's like 8 minutes into Focus and we're still going.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I mean, but it's great. That's the ride you took. And then, you know, once the band really was established and got out there, to me, I just felt like the internet was the way to go to just push us. So, like, you know, establishing MySpace, which was huge for us back then, because back then there wasn't Facebook. So we had MySpace, and then we had a few things on YouTube. And then Brian McJilton did the Warflower video for us, which was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. He was great, man. He did such a good job with that.
Yep. And then just, you know, pushing things on the internet. And then, like, the PRP.com, that's where it blew up, man. It blew up from a it was a guest book or like a message board, and you could put something on there. So I put our link on there with our information, and some guy, I remember, replied and said, you know what, dude, that's pretty ballsy. You're advertising your own band on this page, because, you know, I guess you're not supposed to do that. But I was proud of what we did. I loved where we were going, and I felt like it was going to fucking explode from an international standpoint. People got it, you know, and it just blew up from there, from the PRP links to the everything. It just went, it went from there.
You know, it's funny that, not to, you know, I don't want to make it sound like it's bravado or bragging, but when we started getting messages from people overseas, like when my personal email would show up all of a sudden and have an email from somebody, you know, in Russia, you know, with shitty English talking about how much these songs mean to them, or, you know, it really changed their lives or saved their lives in some cases.
Yeah, I got
it all over the world, you know, and it's hard to try to tell somebody without sounding like you're bragging about it. But I don't know how else to.
Right. And that's what I try to say. I'm not bragging. I'm just so proud of what, I mean, what we can do. For, the biggest compliment that I ever received, and it came through, I think, the band's MySpace page, and I saved it. It's someone saying, your music saved my life. Like, I was going to kill myself, but thanks to you, I didn't. How, you can't replace that. I don't care how much money you can make.
No.
Getting an email from someone saying, thanks to you and your music, I didn't take my own life. And it's like, wow. And I saved that. And I've always been like, I always go back and look at that every once in a while when I'm not feeling too good or feeling kind of shitty, because, you know, maybe I'm not rolling in the dough, or maybe we don't have the, you know, all the amenities that bands have that we could have someday. Sure. But that email is just, it's gold. It's priceless. Priceless.
You know, who doesn't want to be a multi-gazillionaire rock star, you know, with all the fame and the fortune? I get that.
Yeah.
But things like that made it worth it. Like if nothing else ever happens,
yeah,
if it goes nowhere else, it was worth it. You know, at the end of the day, I could say, you know, we did something that was amazing, that touched people's lives. And
then when you just search the internet, just looking for us, and you find people putting videos together with our music, that's humbling. The gentleman who did, I think his name's Aaron, and I'm pretty sure his name's Aaron, from over in England. And he did the Warflower video with the two-tiered bus going through London. Right? So I saw that just looking one day, and I reached out to him. I said, wow, that's really great. Thank you. And he was like, oh, thank you for reaching out. And I said, you know, you can use any of our songs and make more if you'd like. I said, clearly I can't pay you, but I'll definitely put it on our Facebook page, you know, website, whatever. So he made like 7 more. And if you search him, you can find them. And they're, you know, it's Gosha and it's, you know, Aim for the Sky. And I said, you can pick whatever songs you want. So he ran with them, and he's got a ton of hits off them. And it's really good stuff.
See, to me, that's like, great, because like, our whole point was feel something and create.
Yep.
And then someone else picks up that ball and they feel something and then they create with it. Like, that was the whole point. Create the energy.
People recording, you know, nothing really, or doing a song and they're recording it and they put it online. It's like, wow, it's pretty cool. We wrote that song, you know, that's neat. We did that. It's neat. Definitely neat.
Shit. Okay. I think we were still recording. This has gone longer. My computer went into sleep mode.
Your screensaver jumped on?
My screensaver jumped on.
Yeah. I saw it get kind of dark. You want to touch base with the Killer Priest real quick?
I would love to talk about To Kill a Priest, because, one, it's a great song, and I think that it came from a great place. But obviously, it's like, that's your kind of baby. Tell me about that.
That's clearly my favorite song. I remember writing it in your basement at your old place, down on Ritchie Highway. Yeah. And we all squeezed into your basement. It wasn't the largest basement, you know, it was down like a couple steps. You had to duck a couple spots, and then once you got your spot and sat down, you were good to go. And don't ask me how we got a goddamn drum set down there, but we did. We had a kit down there. But I just used to bring my bongos, and you know, Ray had this song, and he was riffing it out on the guitar, and everybody was like collaborating with it. So I think once it got quiet for a minute, I just kind of started that beat, you know, and Ray was like, oh, that's like, you know, it clicked with Ray, and then of course it clicked with you, and then of course with Kevin, and he had that bass line, dum, 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 and it was great. So when we start playing that song, man, it's almost like, you know, I'll start it, and then Dan comes in, and then Kevin comes in, and you know, Ray's already playing it, or Lenny's already playing it, And then, you know, everybody just kind of collaborates. And then what's great about that song for me is it ends the way it starts.
Yeah.
The same way. And then when we hit the studio with it and Frank put that chanting in the beginning with the Indian, it was just spot on. It was like, I don't know what that dude's saying, but it just fits perfect.
Dude, it was money. The way that song feels, it's just like a swell right out of the gate. Like it just kind of picks you up right at the start and moves you up and keeps bringing you up and bringing you up and bringing you up. And then it's just, that is a great, great song. Like that is definitely a moment.
When it really hits, you know, it hits hard, you know. When it comes in and it hits and you got that break in the middle and it's that jam where, you know, you go off and stuff and then it comes right back into it, you know. And then it ends right the way it starts. It kind of starts out real mellow with you and takes you on this ride. And it just hits, and then it comes back down, and then it drops right back off, almost like a roller coaster, right?
Yeah.
Brings you right back to where you started out. So it was great.
I guess we covered actually a lot more than I thought we were going to, which is nice. I'd like.
Well, if you ever need anything, I'd be glad to help out. Or if you're busy and you want me to interview anybody, I'd be glad to talk to people too. Or if you need some like co-host or something, if I can help out, man.
That's definitely part of the plan of the show is to have other people. Be involved. It's going to create different people hosting the show is going to create a different feel, and I think that's important.
It's a great idea. Yeah, I love it.
It's going to be good.
Yep.
Before we wrap up, can you tell me for you what it means to be a Mayan? What is that like for you?
Like I said, it's just that proud feeling, you know, that you accomplished, you know, this music, and you've created these relationships with these men. You know, Dan and yourself, you know, Kevin, of course, and Blenny now, and, you know, Ray. It's just a proud moment when you can really be proud of what you put out there and the music that you can put behind the name. And I clearly feel that we've done that. And then the relationships that we've made throughout the years, this would be a very big empty spot in my life if it wasn't for all this and you guys and the band and all the friends we've met around the world. Like you said, it's humbling. You know, you get an email from somebody from Germany saying we play Warflower as the last song at this club every night. That's pretty fucking cool. Thanks, man. I mean, yeah, that's really awesome, you know. So it's a proud moment. So, you know, being proud of what you put out there as a product, but then also, you know, keeping the relationships and just loving what you do and loving the people you do it with. And that's all that matters.
That's awesome.
You know? Good stuff. So like awesome. I said, I'm very blessed to, you know, met you and everyone in the band and everyone that's come through my life through this point with this band. Like I said, it's all because of music, which is to me the greatest thing ever. And I'm as a musician, I'm sure you can agree. So
I might have got chills right there.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know, it would be a huge empty. But what I've done the last 15 years if it wasn't for this band? I mean, you know, wow, like the opportunity that comes in and you don't even expect it. You know, because to me, when Live Alien broke up, I was pretty bummed. And that's one of my favorite bands. I'm like, damn, you know, I'm a fan, you know, I'm like, shit, that sucks. And then Kevin started this band. Now look, I mean, and that's once again, you know, I think you hit it at the right place, the right time. And this band was blowing up as the internet was blowing up. And then with the music, the way it is, it just, we took the ball and we ran with it. And we took advantage of the one thing that everyone can access almost, which is the internet. And now with smartphones and all this shit you can do, it's the sky's the limit, man. It's incredible. But I think we hit it as it was just taking off. Because a lot of bands, really, the bands that we liked growing up earlier, can you imagine how much bigger they would have been if the internet would have been around?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, these bands never really got to benefit fully from the internet experience, right? You know, it's incredible. I mean, iTunes came along, Napster was there, right? All these ways to share music, get it out there. Before that, you're buying records and tapes. That's about it, right? Radio station, you're hitting play and record, you're listening to the song. Trying to get the DJ to shut up so you can record it and play the car.
Don't talk like, over the intro, guys. Shut up. Quit talking over the intro.
You're trying to time it perfectly. There was no internet there. You couldn't, you know, go to YouTube. You couldn't.
I can tell you on that note, I never understand people who are like, oh, no, don't share my songs. you know, you could don't put it on this thing where people can listen to it. Why wouldn't you do that? Like, I get it. You're trying to make money off of your art, you know, and you should. But why wouldn't you want people to hear the music? Why wouldn't you want it to get out there? Like, if they don't hear it, they're not going to care to see you. They're not going to care to do it. Like, I never understood that. Put the music out there. Let people hear it. And it's just like the marketplace of ideas. You know, if your idea sucks, nobody's going to want to listen to it.
Sure.
They're not going to listen to it again. You know, but if the music's good, they're going to listen to it again. They're going to put it back on.
Yeah. And then that's how you obtain, you know, a follower. So they're going to be looking for new material. Then they're going to tell a friend. The biggest advertising is word of mouth, right?
Yeah.
So if you hear a band, hey, Brian, I just heard this band called such and such. Check it out. Then you're going to listen to it. Then you're going to tell somebody, you know. And to me, that's great. Then it spreads. And, you know, that's how you obtain relationships with people, because people dig your music and it shows. And you have your supporters and your followers and people that you communicate with. Like I said, there's people, like you said, you get emails. I get them every day or every week from people I've talked to over the years, Russia, you know, everywhere. It's great. It's like, how are you? Good. And like you said, the English is kind of, you know, you kind of got to look through it, like, you know, okay, they meant to say this, but they meant this. But it's definitely a cool thing, man. It's cool. And like I said, it's more of a proud moment when you really can look at your accomplishments as a band and then your relationships you've made and then knowing where you've come in the last 15 years. And like I said, it comes full circle, man. Coming, having you back on board with us, it was great. And they said, yeah, Brian's going to play. I'm like, oh shit, Brian's going to play? Like, wow, it's great. Because, you know, I think you and I were on the same boat after Ray had passed away. I kind of didn't want to play anymore for a while. I kind of put all my shit away and was like, you know what? I just don't want to do it right now. So I just stopped. And about a year later, that's when Johnny was playing out somewhere. He's like, come out and just jam, man. I'm just like, all right. So I got out there again and got my foot back into it. But, you know, kind of didn't want to. But then, you know, once, you know, Kevin said, hey, you know, got this guy Lenny and, you know, Brian's going to be on board. I'm like, Brian Scott? Yeah, all right, cool. Like, yeah. So it was great, man. It was like a reunion, you know, getting everybody back together and then having Lenny step in. Like I said, he has that Ray vibe without even trying to be like Ray. He's got that vibe that Ray brings to the table, and that's what's so cool. That's how it feels so natural.
We'll get back together. I guess Dan approached me with it and sent me some videos and talked about it. And at that point, it had been long enough I hadn't been playing that I was like, okay, I'm open to checking this stuff out again. You know, I was at a different place in my life. It wasn't raw. Like, it wasn't like, you know, where I was.
Right.
It was, it was the right time. And it's probably the best way to put it. Like, the time was right. The time was right.
I
approached it, and it was, I mean, we already talked about it.
Yep.
You know, I honestly, you know, my wife was, she's like, really, you're going to go up there and do this? Really? Like, that was, you're going to drive all the way up there and do this? And I said, look, don't worry about it. I'm going to go up there and hang out with a bunch of guys that I had a lot of good times with. We're going to drink some beers. We're going to play the songs, and then we're going to come home, and then that's probably going to be the end of it. I didn't expect to be like, we need to keep this as fuck. What? Here's the golden egg again. We're going to run.
Next?
Yeah. Well, Chuck, thanks for being on the Temple today.
It was great. I'm glad I could take up about 2 hours of your time. Actually, 34 minutes.
30. I mean, these shows are only supposed to be 10 minutes long, right? I got some fucking editing to do.
Sorry. You want to start over? No.
No. This is definitely going to have to be a couple of episodes. Man, we covered some great stuff. This one was really good.
Yeah,
this is really good.
And like I said, keep me posted if I can help out in any way, or, you know, talk to some fans maybe, or do something. Just show me what I got to do, and I'll be able to help out and do what I, you know, you can.
I'll definitely let you know. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the Temple tonight. This is a longer episode than I would normally like to do, but, man, just there was a great vibe and a jive, and Chuck and I just were hitting it, man, so I didn't want to edit it down, even though I spoke about doing it. It just didn't seem right. If you have any suggestions or comments, please email those things to themayantemple@gmail.com. Again, themayantemple@gmail.com. You can always see The Mayan Factor on Facebook, and we look forward to seeing you soon live somewhere. We've got some new music coming your way. We're going to be practicing, and maybe a podcast here of a practice we got coming up soon with everybody in it. So stay tuned for that. Take care, guys.